numbers told the story they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game, plus iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeff, I botched something. I made an error. The Lightning, not plus 340, plus 240. You know what my eye caught? The Lightning after three games. Who has the lead after three games? It's plus 340. My bad. So the Lightning would have to win two in a row. Plus 340 is the price you get on that. Plus 240 for the series. So that makes a little more sense. I was going to say, my goodness. I'd still take them at plus 240, by the way. I do have a pre-flop plus 150 on them. But that is, I regret the error there. So plus 240 series price on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Unscripted with the Crack Man, ladies and gentlemen. That's where we are right now. With his intro music, Bill in studio. How you doing, man?
Hey, good. What's going on?
Watching some golf, which right now we have a one man at the top of the leaderboard. That's Matthew Neesmith, 3 under through 15, I believe, or through 14. Matthew Neesmith, Morikawa has dropped back, he bogeyed. So Neesmith atop the leaderboard here, early going of the
still,
U.S. Open.
Is there still some guys to tee off yet? Now it's 11 o'clock back east, so I would think it's early.
I am going to be so unproductive today, it's not even funny. I'm just going to watch this.
Yeah, no, it's probably a little bit of an edge, ever so small, but probably a little bit of an edge to go out early, I think, too. I heard you guys talking about that, too. I had Casey Kerr on my podcast yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I brought him on about the LIV, but we're talking also about this tournament. And, Casey was giving me a couple things. I asked him, I said, you know what? What do you think about this tournament? And then I was like, Casey, he doesn't know the odds on the players. So, he was mentioning, like, Rahm and McIlroy. And I was like, Casey, they're the favorites. They're like 11-1. I don't see any value in betting something that's 11-1. With 100 golfers out there. To be honest with you, it's a giant hold if you think about it. 11, 12, 13. You're supposed to be getting 20-1 on something like that, maybe more.
I would imagine books love booking golf tournaments more than anything in the world.
Yeah, if they had the volume that they had on NFL, I think.
Well, that's why I think the Masters specifically, because they have the whole winter.
Oh, yeah.
I think that must be their favorite thing ever.
That the Masters this past year, with Tiger involved, was such a big money event. Of course, bookmakers don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about someone beating them on a $100 prop bet instead.
That's right.
This is a big money sport when it comes to majors, especially. And it's funny I say that because someone yesterday who was friends with Bob Martin. Now, Bob Martin was a legendary bookmaker here in town.
The Babe Ruth of bookmakers.
The Babe Ruth of bookmakers. And this person's 81 years old, and he knew him personally, and he had a lot of dealings with him. He said I actually wrote it down when I said, hold on, tell me that again. He said in Bob Martin's office, it was in his home. He said in Bob Martin's office in his home, he had it framed on his wall by his desk, 11 to 10 built this all.
Mm-hmm.
So just if you think about that and some of the people that run sports books now that are so afraid to lose a bet to anybody, just think long term, 11 to 10 built this.
Such a great point.
It's just 11 to 10 built this all.
You don't need to be that greedy. 11 to 10 built this all.
Built his house, built his life, made him tons of money.
Imagine Bob Martin, who was again, this is before our time too. Bob Martin made the line everywhere.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Wasn't an algorithm, wasn't from offshore, wasn't Bob Martin, one dude. 11 to 10 built it all.
Really, really amazing. And also, one of the sayings from the, I hang out with older guys. Let me just be real blunt. I really don't have that many friends. People think I'm always the, happy guy and going around Vegas smiling and betting and tipping and having fun. Okay, that's fun. But friend-wise, I really don't have too many people I can call a friend that I would go out with all, but this guy is an older guy. He's a friend of mine, and I'm out with him. I seen him dressed up with a nice jacket in the lobby of the building I live in, maybe 30 times. And this guy's 80 years old, dressed up with a sport coat every day, sitting in the lobby reading a paper. And let's just be honest. My grandfather used to get the New York News and the New York Daily News and the New York Post every single day. That was his big thing, to read those two papers. And he put on 1010 Winds News, and every 22 minutes he got the whole world.
I'm Ron Flatter, and weather. It's 1010 Winds.
Yeah, so this guy reminded me of that. And I finally asked him one day. I said, sir, where do you go? What do you do? How are you doing? And legendary guy in town. I'm not going to give too much information about him. One day I told him, I said, you have to come on this show with me. He owned a casino in this town. I'll just say that. And I got it out of him. But the different properties and restaurants, he owned 26 restaurants. Just retired. And he said, that's how I dress. I don't have any other clothes. I have 100 sport coats and 200 dress shirts.
That's how I dress.
That's how I dress every day. So I got to be real good friends with him. I go out with him 2-3 days a week now.
Really?
His wife said I saved his life. Because, you know, his wife's like, he every day, he just, you know.
Did he not know who you were all those times you walked by him?
Actually, he did. Amazingly.
But he just
because of his son, he did. But he didn't realize who I actually was. But he knew of me. And, we got to be friends, and he's just telling me all these different things and these stories and these tales. And he said there was also another one. He doesn't remember exactly how it was worded. It was like, it takes a genius to break even betting sports for a year, but a moron booking it could be a millionaire. Because, in other words, you're going to get all the money in the end. You just take the volume. It's all volume. Mm-hmm. You want to hold 2%, 3%. We know the hold's a little bit more than that. But it's all volume in the end, and you're going to make money. And he said how much easier it was back then. There was a sports book. Boy, I wish I knew the name of it. It was either called the Royal or the Royal Inn. There was a sports book on Convention Center. And maybe even Jimmy worked there. It was on Convention Center, and he said, these guys back in Boston, in the know, let's just call them that, they used to run this, and they used to take more money in that sports book than anyone's taking now. He's like, it was so much easier to bet back then than it is now. And then he was telling me about the sheets he used to get, the pieces of paper at the Stardust. They were just handwritten. And he knew the guy that stole the $500,000 bucks. And remember that story about the guy at the Stardust that went out and was pushing the cart to the back to the little safe room, took the $500,000 with him and his cat, and never, I forget his name right
him
now.
Him and
too.
His cat.
Him and his cat, and never.
But it's such a, the main point of what you're saying is so important.
Yeah.
11 and 10 built this all.
11
so in
to
other
10
words,
this
for this new culture, not new, but like, I think we see it just more and more places now with legalization, the culture of limiting and of banning without really knowing how to profile players.
Perfect.
That's the key. That's the key point, by the way. Like, you don't even know what you're doing.
They really don't.
They don't. In other words, they're so scared of certain, like, or they're so quick to immediately say, oh my God, that guy, what a bet. Yeah. He's going to take so much money from us. Let's limit him ban him or effectively limit him. So it's a virtual ban. And they miss out themselves on opportunities of, you know, this is not like the old days of, because these offshore guys, they know how to profile players.
Right.
They're so poor at this now that they're costing themselves money.
Perfect. They're costing themselves and their companies.
Yes.
They're actually costing themselves money.
That dude that just got lucky and beat you should want him betting every day all
That's
day.
Right. That's right.
It's incredible.
The guy I know from Texas that was betting tennis, by the way, and loses a ton of money, NFL season, and he got lucky in tennis, and he was banned here in town by one of the sports books. He won $45,000 in tennis, betting like $3,000 a play. You know, he must know something. He won $45,000 in betting tennis.
He must know something.
This guy loses six figures a year, $500,000 a year betting NFL, and he was like, I can't believe I got thrown out. That's exactly, you said something along the way there. They just don't know. They're almost trying to protect their job, they think. But what they're doing is they're doing what their bosses do not want them to do. They're actually costing themselves money. So their bosses upstairs don't even know. Like, it'd be like a Michael Gaughan here, not knowing what goes on the casino floor when something happens, why he went down on a certain area of the casino floor. I'm not talking about sportsbook. But He doesn't know, because someone that's making, you know, $45,000 a year, not making fun of anyone for making any money, but he says, he talks down to the person, he does something wrong to them, and they leave and don't come back. And that's it's something that, that is very interesting. You said it perfectly.
We talked extensively about this at Bed Bash 2, Spanky's Bed Bash 2, and Elihu Foistel, who's in, you know, who knows this kind of stuff and has experience with, you know, profiling in offshore. It is startling. How bad the legalized sportsbooks are at this. And it's just that they cost themselves money, and it's just, it's 11 to 10 built it all.
It's
everybody,
so cool.
Everybody relax. You don't need to limit or ban. You're going to win anyway. Just relax.
Yep. You said it right about the offshore guys, though. These first offshore guys who were in, by the way, they were in Margarita Island and even before Costa Rica, then Costa Rica, and then, of course, going out to Curacao, Antigua, Panama, Colombia. These are the places that are offshore guys. These guys were all working, booking in the United States, and they were forced to move their jobs, their companies offshore because of the laws here. But if you think about the first offshore guys out there, I'm not going to mention any names, but they're literally a couple billionaires out there. They had to literally immerse. They had to get over so many hurdles back then compared to today, and they are very, very wealthy. They had to pay off politicians. Every one of those countries are dirty, and politician after politician. Pay for toll-free numbers, giant staff, and they made it, and they gave half sheets away. We'll talk about the half sheets, too, if you want.
And they still made it.
They gave half the money away, and they were still making millions.
Going to come back. Want to get into what Casey Kerr said about LIV Golf specifically, and my new biggest Vegas pet peeve. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network, with Bill Krakenberger.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay here as well. Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Krakman with a K on Twitter. And the name of the podcast is Wisecracks with John Orlando and Bill Krakenberger. Check that out wherever podcasts are available as well. Matthew Neesmith with the one-stroke lead at the U.S. Open over Colin Morikawa, Rory McIlroy, and others. So Morikawa and McIlroy knocking at the door. Morikawa was in the co-leader spot for much of the morning, but Neesmith with the early edge. This is John Rahm for birdie to try to get to two under and one stroke back. Long birdie putt, and he does not get there. I am going to be completely unproductive today. It's all I'm going to watch. Cannot wait. Let's go, Berger. Let's go home. Let's get him home. What did Casey Kerr have to say about LIV Golf?
Oh, boy, I had a lot to say. The reason why I brought him on, we had another guest, and I had to push him, had to bump him, because I said, Case, you got to come out with me this week telling me this stuff. One thing was, just like I just seen Dustin Johnson there, I said, what happens to these players when they go out there? What happens to Phil? Does he get booed? People were saying he's going to get booed.
Mm-hmm.
Casey's like, are you crazy? They're not booing. They're not going to, even more than he goes, if Phil's on the leaderboard day four, they will be cheering him with both arms. I mean, I don't know what happened at the
tee-off. Part is probably true.
Right.
That's probably true. If it goes that does show you how irrational a crowd will be.
Irrational. Perfect.
It's like they might go nuts hazing him on Thursday, but come Sunday, not that he's going to be, but were he to be on the leaderboard, Phil, they would go crazy for in a good way.
Yep.
Yeah.
So by Schwartzel winning last week, winning $4.75 million, his caddy getting $475,000 for one day, the rumblings in the PGA Tour and in the golf world or so much more than that if he didn't win. And probably, like Casey said, a little bit of jealousy going on there and saying, well, maybe that was not a good move that we didn't. Because there was a lot more people that were offered this LIV tour that turned it down that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they're going to be making that transition over. There'll be a lot more players going over there. Maybe not this season, maybe next season. But he was just telling me, like, Schwartzel made $4.75 million. He probably couldn't have made that the rest of his life on the PGA Tour.
For
sure. He made it in 1 week. Now his wife and kids, and they have, you know, like all these guys with their wife and kids, they have only 14 tour stops plus maybe the majors. And he said that this is a nice thing for people. They get to relax a little bit. And what's a nice thing is the money, though. Let's face it. They're getting signing bonuses, like a baseball player or a football player gets a signing bonus. I mean, Phil got $200 million. This is ridiculous type of money.
Right. The issue being, though, that it's salaries.
Some of the lower guys got a lot of money, too, and they're not talked about. Now, you know, Dustin got $100. DeChambeau got $50, I think they said. But there's guys like Pat Perez,
yes,
who joined. Like, these guys got like $25 million to sign. Schwartzel got like $20 million to sign.
This is what makes it so fascinating, though, right? Because it's like the rub, you know, talk about an underestimated word here, the rub on all of this being that it's all backed by the Saudi Arabian government.
Correct.
Right? And so that is the moral conflict, right?
Sure.
That is the, okay, can you begrudge someone for taking all those amounts of money that you said, if in fact this is, you know, what people, some people would call blood money, right? The counter to the counter is, oh yeah, like, you know, like the PGA Tour hasn't played, you know, golf on, you know, historically discriminatory golf courses, right, for all these years too. So it's like
some people,
the counter to the counter would be like, well, where do you draw that line?
Yeah.
And so it's a fascinating subject because we are seeing it happen in real time. We have some guests who think it'll be a cultural hiccup, that it won't actually be a big deal long term. But then, you know, who knows? Maybe this will. We're bettors, and I guess the question to you is: Did you bet on the first one? Will you bet on them moving forward?
I would bet on it moving forward if they had matchups. Just the futures are really tough to bet because of the juice in it. And I really don't like betting a lot of futures unless you're doing multiple shopping or multiple books, which brings the household down from every household is double digits. So just think about that compared to a straight bet of 4.5%. You're betting something that's five times worse, at least more actually. There's places that hold 30% on these things, and it's just. There's two places in town that maybe hold 50%. It's ridiculous. So I will bet it because there's 48 in that first tournament. And I would bet that type of a tournament if I do some shopping and more books have it up. But I haven't really looked into that yet, into betting that. But Casey was really he came on because he was really animated about how Greg Norman is the CEO, I guess, of this company.
He's the LIV. Face of it, yeah.
Yep, and he's the face of it in the LIV. And I guess the PGA kind of, you know, made a lot of money with him years ago. It was a shark. I mean, this guy's worth $100 million. This guy made a lot of money on tour. He used to fly in, the helicopter into his events. I mean,
He had his own iconic fashion brand. Won two majors. Won 20 events.
Wow. So
yeah, one of the great golfers of.
And I guess
could have been. He coughed up a bunch of majors too.
Right. He was up like six strokes. Casey mentioned that also. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Casey does think, of course, it's going to last. It's going to get bigger. And really, this first event really shook things up. People don't realize that most of the events, I guess, are in the U.S. So when they hear it's a Saudi-backed tour, they think it's going to be on Saudi soil. And
someone made a good point on Twitter the other day. It's like, we don't take the courses to task, right? The courses who are allowing these.
Yep.
You know, if you are morally opposed to this, you know, the fact that it's Saudi backed, why aren't we taking the courses, the American courses, to task that are actually hosting these events? Which is an interesting point as well.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we know that. Let's get into a sketchy area. Like, everyone gets nervous to talk about it. Oh, I'm not going to. We know that this is the Saudis are where all these terrorists trained for 9/11. We know what the leader did to Khashoggi. The report of the journalists. We know these things that have happened. So I understand both sides and the rules there about, you know, the females not even allowed to drive and they're, you know, the men are the on top of the world there, and there we know all the things. Just there's just so many moving parts that they're over here. The money's here for people, and people have to make decisions for their family. Now, someone like Rory, who you know made some comments and derogatory things and stuff. Well, Rory can do that. He's got $150 million in the bank. How about if you're, you know, getting offered to play the tour and getting a $5 million signing bonus? Because that's the ones that Casey said there was a couple guys that got offered like $5 million bucks that are still on the cusp of joining. And, you know, this is a decision they're making for their family. It's going to be an easier tournament than a PGA event. And why can't they play in both? Why can't they just – I understand today they're playing in the majors. Why can't they play in both events, though, and choose which tournament they want to play in that particular week?
There's
now, listen,
there's
they're not going
to
skip none of them because they're getting $120,000 for last place just to play in that type of an event. You're going to have 60 players not get a dollar this week. I mean
– Well, this is why – I mean, it's again, it's – you know, some people don't view it as a nuanced discussion. I do, right, because of what you're just talking about, which is if it were you – right? That's the whole thing. It's like you can moralize about it. But if it were you and you were a middling to, you know, low-level tour player and you were offered this sum of cash that you are completely unlikely to make ever on the tour itself, would you take that money? You know, and so until you're in those shoes, you can't really moralize about it.
That's right.
It's easy for us to do so, right?
Sure.
I have my own thoughts, but they're only my thoughts, and it doesn't matter beyond my thoughts. It's just, it's fascinating to observe. And from a betting standpoint, I just want more stuff to bet on.
So again, people can
go after me for saying, oh, well, that's, you know, that's great. You just want more stuff to bet on. Good for you, buddy. Is there, like, do you feel guilty betting on it? And the answer is I haven't bet on it. I don't know that I will, but if it were available for me to watch,
right,
and there was betting value, I hate to say it, Bill, but the answer is, yeah, I probably bet on it.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about, you would think this time of the year, when I like to bet on golf and like to bet matchups, I'll even bet futures because I am shopping, but you would think it's such a slow time of year. But I wrote this down this morning. I'm thinking about, you know, we're mentioning literally seven, we're betting seven different sports right now. At least we are.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Krakenberg, crack wins, seven different sports. How can that possibly be this time of the year? I wrote them down. NHL, MLB, PGA, NASCAR, college baseball, the NBA finals. We bet a lot of props, sometimes a totaler, and WNBA props. I mean, just think about it.
Are you betting WNBA? Really?
Yeah. So think about it. This is supposed to be the slow time of the year, and it's really not for us. So it just was funny you said they need something else to bet on.
I'm just thinking offhand. I'm betting tennis. I'm betting golf. I have basketball bet.
Jesus, there you go.
College baseball. That's four right there. That's four. And unabashedly, like that's, it's in, we talk about the worst championship DNA. This is what's in our DNA. Like it's not anything but normal to me that I got four going all right at the same time, even though it is June, dead of summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
In many respects, maybe it's more than I would come fall, you know, who knows?
Really? But I know NFL's everything. I know.
Yeah.
That's when you feel like you're in the middle of everything.
Oh yeah. Even though like you don't necessarily expect to win like you would at other sports, which is a whole other subject. Coming back unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Brad, I was so angry also. He said, I left Morikawa out. I played an awful 10-1 live outright on him. Well, at the top of the leaderboard right now at the U.S. Open, just what everybody thought, David Lingmerth and the amateur, Stuart Hagestad, 3-under. A little more than halfway through. Well, Lingmerth threw 14, Hagestad threw 11. They have a one-stroke lead over the bigger names, Morikawa, McIlroy among them, John Rahm and Max Homa among those who are two back. Early going at Brookline Country Club for the 122nd United States Open. Also tweets here from, this is from Tim Fraley, one of my best parts of my week, listening to Gil and Bill on Thursdays on the Crack Hour on VSiN. Let's go. This is from Jack Hannon. Jimmy definitely, thank you, by the way, Tim. Jack Hannon, Jimmy definitely worked at the Royal Inn, he said.
Oh, it was a Royal Inn. Thank you.
Vegas Vice. Michael Gaughan and Frank Todi owned the Royal Inn, the book Krakenberger mentioned, in the early 70s before he opened the Barbary Coast.
Oh, good. Thanks, guys. These guys have been around knowing this stuff.
PJ Podiatron, he said, if that number on the Lightning was what you said it was, auto bet, not so much now. I agree with you. Plus 240 ain't plus 340. 39 ain't 29, I believe is what Shaq said once upon a time. 401k Sports, he says, yeah, not only are these companies losing a lot of money by limiting players, you know, they're losing out on tax revenue in states from limiting the pothole that just broke my front axle. Thanks, Mr. CEO of Entertainment Book.
I get you.
Lou Dorr, Gill and Crack, man, on Thursdays. Best hour sports media each week. Thank you, gents. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Lou.
Big J's Bets, also very kind. He says, I don't know if I'm a D-gen, but one thing I do know is I can't get enough of VEASAN with Gill and Bill. The tennis play, not going so well. That should be pointed out. Ludmila Samsonova, a no-show against Veronica Kudermetova. She's down a set, down a couple breaks. This is not going well. So the tennis play does not look good. Apologies on that one. Again, Wimbledon in 10 days. Cannot wait for that. Those bets will be much more in volume. Bill, let me tell you my my new Vegas pet peeve.
Oh, yeah. What was that? That's right. We talked about that off air, but didn't hear it.
So, yeah, I've lived a long time in several major American cities. Obviously, I grew up in Washington, D.C. Lived most of my adult life in San Francisco and have spent great amount of time in Boston during my college years, also in Miami growing up. And Vegas is specific for many things. But one thing that I've noticed that is so Vegas that never gets brought up is this thing about driving on freeways and stuff flying out of trucks.
Wow.
Have you noticed this?
I know that the roads here are very conducive to stuff like that happening.
Epidemic. Jeff is laughing. Do you notice this also?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have had to swerve on freeways at top speeds multiple times. Matt Brown on the way into Primetime Action or yesterday had a paint can fly out of a truck in front of him. His entire car got slammed in paint.
Wow.
He had to spend the next 2 hours like trying to get rid of it. You can't. And you know, you can't like chase after the dude.
Yeah.
What is it with this town that like every truck, the back end is open and they fill it so high and everything is a perilous drive?
Yeah, no, I do notice that happening on the major interstates.
Yes.
This is happening, absolutely. For some reason, I think the laws are a little bit lax there. Our roads are terrible. We have probably the worst drivers in the country. I know that, you know, coming from New York, and even being in all parts of California, L.A., I was in Miami a couple weeks ago with 95, is probably one of the most dangerous roads in America, 95 South.
For sure.
And the traffic there, just in 1 year, just 70,000 New Yorkers moved to South Florida.
Those are my people, Bill.
No, I didn't want to say that. They are your people. But the roads there are terrible. The traffic is terrible. I'll still say Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, is the worst drivers in the country. Staying in the left lane, that you have to go around them. And now something I notice, this is, again, a little touchy subject here. I notice our homeless population is getting worse and worse and worse. I notice them now where the World Series of Poker is. I notice on Harmon, it's called Colville. On Colville, past Top Golf, there's like 2010 set up there. I never seen that before. I mean, it's getting worse and worse. And you know, no one pays and it doesn't cross at the crosswalks. They would, back home, it would have been called jaywalking. They don't care at all. They're walking in the middle of the streets over by Hard Rock there, which will always be Hard Rock to me. Very dangerous
always
area.
Always be the Hard Rock to me too.
You're right. These roads are the roads. The trucks, like you say, they must have different regulations, or they have people smoking, drinking, and gambling.
Unbelievable.
It's always, for me, it's 15, which, of course, is the biggest interstate in the area, the only interstate, really, that people drive on, even though some will drive on 11. But it's always on 15, and it always feels like it's at the least inopportune time where you're either going into the shoulder to avoid the paint can or you have no idea if it's a blanket or something. You swerve regardless.
Yeah, you just assume that
it's something that's going to damage your car.
It's unbelievable.
And also, what Bill said is perfect. It is the worst. I don't know if it's Nevadans themselves. I don't know if it's
it's people
visiting. But whatever it is, it is the worst collection of drivers.
Worst collection
ever.
Worst collection. And there was a dude this morning on the way in. I was like, this guy's trying to hit me. Like he's just trying to hit
Jesus. And, you know, you think we live in the moment, and everyone could say this about their own little town and their own city. I don't think so. I do a lot of traveling. I'm in Jersey, you know, 3-4 months out of the year in New York. This is bad here. This is very, very bad. It's bad driving, and it's just bad drivers, and it's a mix, I guess. But I would think it's more people that came here, and where the new culture has no patience. So these new kids have no patience, and that's just
anyway.
It's the under 30 crowd.
I don't know if
I'll
it's
blame
that.
Them.
I'm gonna just say it's cover your trucks. Cover the whatever
trucks.
Load
yeah.
cargo you got in the back. Can we get a roof
things
on that?
Things are always flying around on 15 here.
I don't understand.
And they came out of mostly trucks. There's stuff flying all over. Look at the debris on the road. It is. And our state bird now is that orange cone, though. They're everywhere. So
the orange cone state bird.
Yeah.
You mentioned the World Series of Poker. Do we have a COVID outbreak at the World Series of Poker?
Yeah, we do. We do. You know, not that I'm not one of those fear guys that talk about COVID, but I just know that I know about three different people I know, and two of them are probably listening. They don't know each other to these guys either, so it's kind of interesting that they all have COVID. They didn't have it until they got here. They got here and they played in the World Series events over at Bally's in Paris. So I just
do you
be safe, I guess.
Do you ever play in those?
No.
Do you ever try to?
I used to.
Did you used to? Yeah.
Back in the day, sure. I played in the main event back in the day.
You did?
Yeah.
What made you stop?
I got knocked out 177th, so I stopped that event. No, I did, though. I actually doubled my money. Made like 25 grand, I think it was. But I stopped because...
you were like, I'll never do this well again?
I'll never... No. Actually, I was being funny. Even though I did cash in that main event, I just didn't have the intestinal fortitude to put up with the backpacks, the headsets, the attitudes. And I'm not trying to brag, but I got a few bucks. And these kids are here being staked. And, you know, my friend actually came to town, and he made up these shirts, no backer needed. And he no backer means someone's backing you. But these kids, you know, they look up, look down, look up at the cards, look up at you, and they want to challenge you and say, do you have that ace? Like they'll try to talk to get something out of you, a tell. I guess I understand it more now that I get older. But I just, you know, it's like, kid, play your hand. How much money you got in your pocket? I'll flip you for your whole stack. Give me a break. I mean, your whole money. I'm not trying to be like that, but it got me too upset probably dealing with the personalities of some of the poker players and some of the I noticed a lot of poker players to be very frugal too. Not talking about general statement, but perfect example. Here we go. I'm glad you brought this up. I go to dinner with, after the first week, someone I know won $179,000 in an event. I actually did not know him. I knew his friend very, very well. He's like, hey, my buddy just cashed in a big tournament. Can he go to dinner with us? Because I invite him to go to dinner. So we go to dinner, and when it came time for the check came, and I was happy to pay. I don't care, but really it's $150. I was kind of surprised. Where I grow up, the guy with the most money or the guy that just made a nice score is usually paying for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, if this guy wasn't blocked in by his seat where my friend was in the center, I think he would have got up and went to the bathroom when he knew the check was coming. So it's just kind of turned me off, and I kind of totally abused him, to be honest with you. He doesn't even know me, and I just totally made fun of him and stuff. And then he was talking about an interesting thing I didn't know. So he won $179,000, and he didn't get the money. He got a slip of paper that I guess he can go back at any time and go get the money at the cage. And I thought it was interesting. Maybe someone on Twitter can help us. Maybe you guys may know. So if you play in these events, do you have to tip? Well, they're taking out money that goes to staff and fees. I believe, and someone's going to answer for us, I'm sure, on Twitter, I believe that is the tip. I'm not 100% positive. So I don't think you have to tip because it's already taken out of your fees, the 10% plus another 3% for staff, which I think would be considered the dealers and the floor people. So there was another good subject that came up. Like, you know, we talked about tipping all the time here on this show. I love just getting a gift card. They can't split that with everyone else. Put it right in your bucket. So anyway, it's just something I noticed that's kind of, it's not a general statement for all poker players. So don't be starting whining and coming after me on Twitter and saying, oh my God, you're saying poker players are cheap. That's not what I'm saying. It's just it's an interesting take on it anyway.
Co-leaders now, Callum Tarran and David Lingmerth at the U.S. Open. You got them, Jeff? Huh? No? Coming back with the crack, man. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Un-
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. It must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Boy, did we hit a nerve here, Bill. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We did? What do I?
Oh, well, here, I'll get to here. We'll get to here. First of all, touchdown Jesus. He says, if you didn't have Hagestad preflop, you weren't putting in the research, he said. By the way, Taryn and Lingmerth, Callum Taryn and David Lingmerth tied atop the leaderboard 3-under at the U.S. Open. Peter Watry, new Nevada license plate slogan, land of the unsecured load. And then we have just a bevy of tweets about this subject. Backyard Shanty, he said, today, missed patio chair on highway. Last week, a full mattress in HOV lane. A couch in slow lane 3 weeks ago. Does not include plastic sheets, stones, etc. Arizona, Nevada, worse driving.
Wow. Okay.
Richard Ng, I, too, have lived in many major cities. Las Vegas, hands down, worst drivers in the United States.
There you go.
Ed Blust, I lived in Manhattan, New Jersey for many years. I couldn't agree more. Nevada drivers are the worst. I'm scared to death half the time. They ignore red lights. Steven Vegas, proof of bad driving in Vegas. Every single billboard in caps in the city is a personal injury lawyer ad. No other city is like that. The successful lawyers make so much money, they fly in private jets and vacation half the year. No joke.
Wow, thanks,
as a fellow New Yorker, I'm a very defensive driver. I keep my head on a swivel at all times. Vegas drivers are totally out to lunch behind the wheel. These go on and on.
I'm glad these guys say that, though, because, you know, I don't want to think I'm picking on Vegas that we're picking on Los. These are guys that don't even, some of them don't even live here, or some, you know, they just visit here. So you're reading at one after another. Now that I just went to Twitter, too. Wow. I mean, they're really, these guys agree. And for everyone that actually takes the time to say something, there's 50 more that That's do agree right. that are listening. So
this is one about your tipping at the World Series of Poker. This is from Jorge Ray, good player broke, he said. Tipping at World Series of Poker. Prior to Caesars buying the World Series, tipping tournament staff prior to 2005 was 3%. Since Caesars bought World Series, 3% is deducted from the prize pool, along with this year's 11% tournament entry fee, also deducted from prize pool.
Well, so it is. And that, so they're right not to tip then, hearing that.
It's sort of like, I don't know if you've ever had this word, like the 18% gratuity is built in and the wait staff casually doesn't mention that to you sort of thing.
That could cost them money with guys like us.
Exactly. It could totally cost them money. Does. Yeah. I would have gone.
It's like an insult.
If you had said it, I would have given you so much more.
Yeah.
But because you didn't say it, right. Yeah, that stuff bothers me.
Well, that all started and a couple different times throughout the year that certain they have certain events in town and people just aren't tipping. That was like the NBA All-Star weekend. They didn't tip, they didn't pay the bill. So that's when a lot of that stuff started. I know if you go to Joe's, which is one of my favorite restaurants at the Forum Shops, they add 18% on. They don't for me when I'm in there, but they add 18. It would cost them money. It really would. And thank God there's not another line. I'll say it again for the captain's tip. Who do you tip a captain? Well, the waiter will take care of him.
Who do you tip a captain?
No, but that bothers me when that happens because it's definitely going to cost. I automatically say if a bill's 500, they're going to get at least $100 as long as they're decent. They're going to get $100, and then it can go higher from there. I like to tip. This is a great question. I didn't think this would come up today. I like to tip the busboy privately. Mm. So I'll slip him a sawbuck. That's $10.
That is very
people don't
cool.
know.
Yeah.
Slip him $10 because I want my drinks to be filled. Mm-hmm. I want to keep up on my drinks. So now does that? I would hope they. I never asked one of them. They keep that in their pocket, right? They don't give that to the waiter and say he gave me this.
Oh, I would hope not.
Yeah.
Max Homa for birdie. Oh, come on, Maxie. Homa's two back. Of the leaders, Taryn and Lingmerth.
who have a one-stroke lead over Morikawa, McIlroy, and more.
Jeff just pointed out that McIlroy, and then we've seen it, how mad he was when he had a bad shot. We still didn't see the shot, though. Jeff, it was from the actual rough?
It was from the rough, basically adjacent to the bunker. He hit it into the bunker that's about 10 yards in front of it, and then he somehow saved par.
Oh, incredible. He
made the par putt.
He was hitting,
bunker, yeah.
Acting like a child.
Made the par. Ended up saving par. Incredible par.
Up and down from a bunker.
Oh, wow.
A long
I didn't
way
know
away.
That.
Oh,
okay.
Who would, oh, John. Was that John Rahm? Just missed a Ooh. Long birdie.
This is going to be a fun day for Jeff. Jeff, he's going to have some day today.
Oh, man.
Gil's going to have an amazing day.
And rooting up them. Now, what do you do? I never really. Now, do you have to run from here to do something else or no?
Not today, I don't.
Good. Yeah. And then, but tonight you have to work.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, so you're going to have a nice day home and watching the golf and get some golf sweats in. And now, do you have tennis today, too?
My tennis match is going right now. Oh, okay. And we're on the cusp of losing Ludmila Samsonova, who was down a set and two breaks. Now she's down a set and a break to Kudermetova. But that's my last tennis match of the day.
Hey, before we go off air here, one of the other things that I don't want to say the old guy, but my buddy, legend in this town, told me there's no correlation between intelligence and financial success. I like that. That's what he said. It's, especially in the buildings we live in, there's a lot of trust fund kids and they're just idiots.
Yeah. It's a great, great comment because I think there's a lot of people who immediately equate the two as being related.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is.
Yep.
Most of the time, it probably isn't.
But lastly, before we get off here, this is going to be a great question because everyone in this room, there's about five of us in here, have had this happen to us. Chip responsibility. Play a blackjack table. You're going to run to the restroom or play a poker game
like this
and go to the bathroom. Guess what? You better take your chips. I don't care if you have 50,000 on the table. Because the casino's not responsible for them.
This gets back to our discussion the other day where people are just casually putting their purse or their bag.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this 2 weeks
slots.
Ago. Yes.
But I feel, so I'm very consistent. I feel like those people are so overly trustworthy, right, of the rest of society.
They are.
And
they're naive.
The blackjack person who leaves his or her tips, leaves his or her chips, I am fascinated by that person. I'm like,
but I would do that too, though. If I'm playing, I've played a lot of live cash games back home, especially not here in Nevada. I really don't play too much, but back home, you know, you got 6,000 or 2,000 or $300 on the table, stack of red and a couple black chips. You leave the black chips. Well, guess what? They're not responsible. If someone comes by and swipes that black chip to $100, someone comes by and the guy comes back from break and says, "Hey," comes back from the bathroom and said, "I had two black chips on top of my reds here." Sir, we're not responsible for your chips. People don't realize that. So,
well, that's what I mean. It's like, why would you? Like, I can't believe.
So, what are you? You're actually saying something different. You're saying that, of course, it's your responsibility. Why would you leave your chips?
Of course, it's your responsibility. I'm amazed that guy was like, "Hey, could you watch my chips? You don't know me. I mean, I will.
Yeah.
But like, what if I was somebody else?
Yeah. Casinos are not responsible for that.
Hey, you watch
just
my chips,
just like you go
man.
To a parking garage. It says we're not responsible if someone breaks into your car.
Right.
So they're not responsible for, even though they're under camera, constant surveillance, they're not responsible for your chips. People don't know that. People think, this happens a lot in the poker rooms. There's $1,000 chips, there's flags, which are $5,000 chips. They put them on the table, and they run, you know, they're playing poker for hours. They have to run to the bathroom, of course. And someone swipes one of the chips, and there's giant stories about this. So, that's just something that I want people to know out there. Also, if your buddy owes you like $5,000, of course we're talking big numbers, don't ever take one of those $5,000 chips. Because I'll tell you right now, you ain't cashing it. That casino is going to want to know where it comes from and who got the, because they, over the years, they've lost chips. People have stolen them, wherever it may be. There was a story about Nolan Dowler, who used to work for the poker room. Pretty good writer, a great writer, actually. He worked for the World Series for years. He had a $5,000 chip from MGM, that someone gave him. He went to MGM. Till this day, they still have confiscated the chip. They've never given him the money for the chip, or didn't even give him the chip back. So they have internal rules that they live by, and it's usually $3,000 or more. They ask you for your ID, which he had no problem giving, but they wanted to know where he got that chip from, what table did it come from, who gave it to him, what player, and they needed the person that received that chip to be there at the cage. So there's a couple little tidbits for you guys out there.
That gets back to my story from last week. I was telling you about a major casino where they figured out one of their dealers was skimming cash off the table, but they couldn't figure out how that person was getting these massive chip quantities out of the building, right? And then they figured out, oh, they were laundering it through the sports book. The sports book way after.
Oh, I read this.
Yeah. Yes. No, I told you about this last week.
Oh, you told me. Okay, yeah.
Or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They figured out many months later than they would have liked to have figured out, by the way. The sportsbook's like, hey, this guy has these big chips. And they're like, oh, that's what's happening.
Wow. Yeah.
By the way, he lost all the money betting sports.
This hour flew by, man. Damn.
Bill Krakenberger, everybody. Unscripted with the Crack Man, right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you, Bill. Lombardi Line next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.